What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 178. In this episode, I'll discuss the IDSA healthcare-associated ventriculitis and meningitis guidelines. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode178. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. These guidelines were published in February 2017. For empiric therapy in healthcare-associated ventriculitis and meningitis, select an agent that has CNS penetration and bactericidal activity against MRSA and Pseudomonas. This will ensure coverage against the most likely pathogens, which are coag-negative staph, staph aureus, Propionibacterium, E. coli, Enterobacter, Citrobacter, Serratia, and Pseudomonas. A vancomycin-based regimen that also includes cefepime, ceftazidime, or meropenem is sufficient. Aim for a vancomycin trough of 15 to 20 mics per ml, and I aim for the high side of this range in CNS infections. When using cefepime, ceftazidime, or meropenem for a CNS infection, I maximize CNS penetration by using a high dose and extended infusion protocol, such as meropenem 2 grams over 3 hours every 8 hours. Be aware that antibiotic treatment is more challenging if there is CNS hardware present during the infection that has not been removed. This is because biofilms tend to form on the prosthetic device, which inhibits the penetration of antibiotics. Rifampin should be added for patients with a CNS device present. If the patient has anaphylaxis to beta-lactam antibiotics, you can replace the beta-lactam with aztreonam or ciprofloxacin. If the patient is colonized or infected elsewhere with a highly resistant pathogen, then the empiric regimen should also cover this pathogen. The guidelines provide several recommendations on what antibiotics to use once the pathogen is identified. For MSSA, use nafcillin or oxacillin. If the patient has a severe beta-lactam allergy, desensitize them or use vancomycin. Vancomycin is a weak antibiotic, so I would strongly consider desensitizing the patient in this case. For MRSA, use vancomycin, but keep an eye on the MIC. As the MIC passes 1 mic per ml, the chance of success with vancomycin diminishes. Linazolid can be used instead and has excellent CNS penetration. However, it's bacteriostatic. Daptomycin and sulfamethoxazole trimethoprim may also be used. And consider adding rifampin for any staph infection that is sensitive to it. For Propionibacterium, use penicillin G. For gram-negative infections that are sensitive to ceftriaxone, you can step down the initial empiric therapy to ceftriaxone. For Pseudomonas, use either cefepime, ceftazidime, or meropenem based on sensitivity data. Aztreonam or cipro may be used instead if the isolate is sensitive and the patient has a severe beta-lactam allergy. For ESBL, use meropenem. For Acinetobacter, use meropenem. If there is carbapenem resistance, you're stuck with colistin or polymyxin B given by the IV and intraventricular routes. For Candida, use liposomal amphotericin B plus 5-flucytosine. After clinical improvement, patients with susceptible isolates can be switched to fluconazole. Echinocandins such as micafungin do not have adequate CNS penetration. And for Aspergillus, use voriconazole. If the patient has not responded to systemic antibiotics, then intraventricular antibiotics should be used. Controlled trials have not been done to evaluate the safety and efficacy of intraventricular antibiotics, so that's why they're reserved for the patient who has not responded to systemic antibiotics. The initial dose of intraventricular vancomycin is based on the estimated ventricular volume. Give 5 milligrams in patients with slit ventricles, 10 milligrams in patients with normal size ventricles, and 15 to 20 milligrams in patients with enlarged ventricles. The initial dose of other antibiotics, such as aminoglycosides, can be tailored similarly. Don't give beta-lactam antibiotics via the intraventricular route due to the risk of seizure. The frequency of intraventricular antibiotics is determined by the rate of CSF drainage. Once daily dosing if CSF drainage is greater than 100 mL per day, every other day dosing if drainage is 50 to 100 mL per day, and every third day dosing if drainage is less than 50 mL per day. If you're measuring CSF antibiotic levels, aim for a trough to MIC ratio of 10 to 20. In most cases, the duration of treatment should be 10 to 14 days. The guidelines do allow for the option of treating gram-negative infections for 21 days. If cultures are repeatedly positive, then the 10 to 14 day duration should begin after the last positive blood culture. Periprocedural antibiotics may be used to prevent infection during CNS shunt and drain insertion. Post-procedure, the antibiotics may be continued for up to 24 hours. Regarding prolonged antibiotic prophylaxis, the guidelines state prolonged antimicrobial prophylaxis for the duration of the external ventricular drain is of uncertain benefit and not recommended. Shout out to Pharmacy Gavin for suggesting this topic for the show. Starting Thursday, April 6th, members of my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy will have access to my new masterclass, Interpreting Laboratory Data in the ICU. To learn more about the Academy and sign up, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.